Well, welcome to Nod. This is John St. Germain. Tonight's episode, All the World's a Stage. I just happen to like the title of that, and so tonight we're going to have various topics, various and sundry topics. We're going to talk about motivation. We're going to talk about how to keep yourself motivated. We're going to talk about those days, you know, when you get up and you don't feel like doing anything, those weeks, months, maybe years, you don't feel like doing anything. So stick around. We'll be back in a minute. We're going to attempt straighten out a few things here with the connection, and we'll be right back in just a minute or so, so hang around. I'm back. This is John St. Germain, Crystal Silence League Hour. And of course, the Crystal Silence League was founded around 1917 or so by Claude Alexander Conlon with the intent to spread and disseminate positive affirmation for all those in need, and that's what we do here. You can visit us, of course, on the web, www.crystalsilenceleague.org, and post prayer. And prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League. And if you join up with a donation, you have added benefits, and the Crystal Silence League, of course, passed into the silence of Mr. Conlon around 1958 or so, and was re-imaged on the web by Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church just a few years ago, and we've grown and grown and grown and grown and grown and grown in those days, so we have a membership of amazing number. We also have a newsletter you can subscribe to, and of course, the Crystal Silence League Radio Hour, which you're listening to even as we speak. And of course, we have archived episodes you can download for podcast. This is episode 29, and they said it wouldn't last this long, but we fooled them all, didn't we? It is our custom to download and read aloud a number of prayers. Of certain, it's kind of like the lottery. I just download at random a bunch of prayers, and we read them aloud. We only identify these by prayer number and initials. We don't identify people out loud, even though they identify themselves online. We do so. We have a crazy thunderstorm here, by the way. You may hear the thunder booming in the background. This does not mean that that I'm a deity or Jehovah by any means. This just means that there's a big thunderstorm here. So these prayers are not read ex cathedra from Mount Olympus. They're just read from my studio here at Castle St. Germain with a thunderstorm in the back, which is kind of cool. So here we are. We're going to start reading these. So if you will, pray with me and send these folks your positive affirmation and wishes for success. And we start with prayer ID number 40470. CA, who prays for successful dental surgery. She's very scared, and she prays that the doctor has steady hands and that she heals quickly. And, you know, well, my goodness, I've been through the dentist myself, some good, some bad, and may your dentist be the most skillful dentist in the country. Prayer ID number 40469, LS, feeling very discouraged. She's attempted to take some tests and is not doing well with that, so, you know, may she be successful next time. Prayer ID number 40468S. Mr. A has stolen that which is dear to him, and he wishes this to be returned. Prayer ID number 40467MR prays that she and CL stop bickering and have a healthy relationship. Prayer ID number 40466JJ. Hope that two people be found alive. PC and AS. This is a very serious business, and may they be found alive and unharmed. Prayer ID number 40465TD. Praying against cancer. Praying for the family that they hope that this particular condition is not cancer. May it be so. Prayer ID number 40464LD. Prays to pass the medical surgery class. May she make the grades necessary. Prayer ID number 40463GC. Thanks to the universe for all the beautiful things that the universe has given and for the Creator. Needs a connection between herself and CD, and that they be brought together in love. May it be so. Prayer ID number 40462CM. Praying for her friend T, who is going through a tough time. Prayer ID number 40461CM. Needs communication between herself and a loved one, that they may communicate. And prayer ID number 40460SL needs a financial miracle, to have the money necessary to take care of the bills in her life. Prayer ID number 40459 is S. Needs something returned to him that has been taken. Prayer ID number 40458TS is facing eviction and needs intercession in that. That is a terrible, terrible thing. Prayer ID number 40457PW respectfully asks that Y and herself be brought together to see genuine love they share together, and that they are perfect for each other. Prayer ID number CT asks that all evil spirits that cause personal problems be repelled forever in his life. Prayer ID number 40455MS needs payment. There's been eight months of debt, and needs to be paid from this person who owes her money. Pay up! Prayer ID number 40454DD in deep financial distress and needs to pay off the credit cards, bills, and the IRS. May that money come to you. And prayer ID number 40453TJ is going through hard times, and there's just a whole list of problems, and this person is terrified and needs positive thoughts and prayers coming your way, and we are going to send you those, TJ. Hang in there. And prayer ID number 40452DW needs has a new job, very nervous, and he wants to get his job right. Again, hang in there. And prayer ID number 40451 needs for praise that the Lord Jesus hears his mercy, hears his prayer for mercy and his cry, and needs all the evil removed from his life. And finally, a prayer for Cecil the Lion, who was murdered by the psychopathic sociopath sadist Walter Palmer, the Minnesota dentist, and may justice be brought swiftly to the poachers who killed him. Let's have a moment of silence for all those in need of healing. And we're back, although I'm never very far away. I'm hovering around, pretty much omniscient everywhere, or omnipresent. Omnipresent everywhere. If I were omniscient, my name would be Jehovah, not John, and this would be, you know, church, not a small, very cluttered room with lots of books in it. We are back, and we have lots of business tonight. We have a Crystal of the Week, and then we have some stuff to talk about, and many, many things. The stone of the week is iolite or eolite, and iolite, if you look at it, is a very pretty crystal. I unfortunately learned the hard way that it's a very fragile crystal. I dropped one and it just shattered. It turned into powder. But very pretty. It's purple, so of course it works with your third eye, which is the forehead third eye. Did you know third eye means something else? In some cultures, in some Asian cultures, third eye is not on the top of your forehead. It's where you sit. And so, you know, you say third eye, and some Asian people giggle. They go, he's talking about his third eye. So it's kind of funny. But there are some very good uses for eolite since it works the third eye. It can help you with your self-confidence and your inner strength. It can help with fighting addictions. And some of the spell work that I do with Master Root and other things, eolite, a little chunk of eolite is used in the mojos I work with it. It can work, it heterodynes with amethyst. They're both purple. It can help with a variety of the chakra disorders of the third eye, migraines, things like this. It can help with insomnia. It can help you change when you're trying to go from bad to better. It can help you make those changes. It can help you change your patterns of behavior. It can help you bridge the gap between conscious and subconscious. It can help you with memory. But one of the things that's very good is in jinx work. If you feel you've been hexed, it can help uncross or unjinx. If you feel disoriented, lack of motivation, you're disorganized and you're distracted, this can help. And that's sort of the topic of our program tonight, how to get organized and how to get focused and how to get motivated. And I can think of no better place to start with that sort of thing is to talk about the pioneer of all this. We talked a whole lot about Wim Walker Atkinson. We've talked about Conlon, Mr. Conlon, now our founder. I'd like to talk to you about Napoleon Hill, who was a New Age author, and he wrote a wonderful book called Think and Grow Rich, and in it he tells many stories about people who achieved greatness through desire, strong desire, and he said this is the single most important thing to gain your goal, to fuel attraction. And he wrote a lot about the law of attraction. Desire is the thing. And he talks a lot about money, attracting money, because his book was Think and Grow Rich. But if you take money out of the factor and put anything you want, if you want love, if you want shelter, if you want confidence, anything, take it out, because money is energy. Think of money as energy. Sometimes spiritual people think money is bad. I've gotten in conversations on the internet about the craft, about root work or magic or doing readings, and a lot of times people just think you can make stuff up. They say, well, I just use my intuition. I don't study, I use my intuition. And I say, well, you know, if you're doing professional work, people expect you to be knowledgeable of your craft, and go, oh, why is it always about the almighty dollar? And, well, because it's energy. If people want to hire a professional, they expect you to put energy in it, and if you're going to be a professional, you expect to be paid for it. It's not greed, is energy. You give your boss a certain amount of your energy and you expect to have money given to you. Money is energy. Money is, you know, fiat, it's chattel, it's energy. If someone gives you a chicken in exchange for a day's work, that's food. It's energy. Money buys goods and services and food and things. It's energy. So think of money as energy. So to get money, get energy in, energy has to go out. And energy does not like to be static. So when money comes in, it must also be expended. So money has to be in a cycle. This is why money should be used to make more money. Put it in savings, invest it, don't stick it in your mattress. Because really money that is just static loses value. It isn't. Money has to be in a cycle. Energy must always heterodyne. So in Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill tells many stories. He starts with Edwin C. Barnes, who was determined to become Thomas Edison's assistant. And he showed up at his door basically after traveling cross country as a hobo and said, "I'm going to be your assistant." And Edison saw something in him, which is this burning desire, and he said, "Well, come on in, young man." And he put him to work as a lab assistant. Eventually, Edwin C. Barnes became Edison's number one assistant, selling the Edison dictaphone machine and other works because of his desire. Not just a desire that said, "Well, you know, I'll do this, and if I don't make it, you know, in a couple months, I'll quit." But he put everything and cut off all avenues of retreat. If he didn't get this, then there was nothing. It was like jumping off a cliff. So what we see is that every human being who reaches the age of understanding, you know, adulthood, I'm not talking about kids with a sense of entitlement, that if things don't work, you know, mommy help, mommy, daddy help, that think the world's going to owe them a living. Every human being who reaches the age of understanding of the purpose of money, that money does buy goods and services, and it is energy, wishes for it. Anyone who lives in this world wishes for money. You know, don't tell me you don't. You know, say, "Well, you know, money's not that important to me." Then you're living in a dream world. If money's not important to you, you're living in a dream world. Wishing doesn't bring you money, though. But desiring riches, according to Napoleon Hill, desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, followed by planning definite ways and means to acquire these riches, and backing those plans with persistence which does not recognize failure, will bring riches. This has always been in the back of my mind since I was a very young man. Failure is not an option. That's always been in the back of my mind. Failure is not an option. Napoleon Hill says, the method by... Now, that was me speaking, not Napoleon Hill. Failure is not an option. That's been in the back of my mind since I was a very young man. Failure is not an option. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And this has surprised many friends of mine, because a lot of my friends are, know the word for it, bullshitters. They were bullshitters. They'll tell you stuff, and then they won't do it. I've told friends of mine, "I'm going to move from here to here." They go, "Oh, yeah, that's good." Then I'll call them, and I'll say, "Yeah, I'm calling you from so-and-so." They go, "Why are you there?" I said, "I told you I was going to move then." They say, "You did?" I said, "Yes." And they've been very surprised that I did it. When I divorced my first wife, in fact, I told my best friend, I was going to do that. He goes, "Yeah, I think I'm tired of my wife too. I'm tired of her BS. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm going to do it too." And then when I divorced my wife and moved into an apartment, I told him, he said, you did that." I said, "Sam, I told you I was going to do it." And he goes, I just thought you were just, you know, blown off." I said, "Sam, I don't tell you I'm going to do something unless I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to do it, I will do it. That's the power of the word we spoke. If you say it, do it." So Napoleon Hill says, the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent consists of six definite practical steps. Now see, isn't that wonderful? And first, he says, fix your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It's not sufficient merely to say, "I want plenty of money." Be definite as the amount. He says there's a psychological reason for definiteness, which will be described in a later chapter, and he does. Second, determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. There's no such reality as something for nothing. Again, that's true. Robert Heinlein, remember? Robert Heinlein said there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Tom Stoffel, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Third, establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Fourth, create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you're ready or not, to put this plan into action. I have a dear friend. He makes all these plans, and then he plans it to death. It dies on the drawing table. He's always going to do these things, and he never does. And we were in the same business, and I would go off half-cocked in some of my plans. I'd send out stuff that wasn't ready, and I would do stuff that wasn't ready, and kind of make it up as I went along while he was still planning, and then, you know, guess who wound up, you know, doing what he wanted to do. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you're ready or not, to put this plan into action. Then make it as you go along. Fifth, write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition. State what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. Sixth and final, read your written statement aloud twice daily, once just before retiring at night and once after arising in the morning. As you read, see and feel and believe yourself already in possession of the money. Now, can you see how Mr. Hill has applied the techniques that we've discussed before? The assumption that you've already done this in the present tense. You enter the spiritual state where your reality is, where your goal is real. You enter the spiritual state. If it's love, you enter the state of pure love. If it's money, the state of prosperity. Mr. Hill says, it's important that you follow the instructions described in these six steps. It is especially important that you observe and follow the instructions in the sixth paragraph. You may complain that it's impossible for you to see yourself in possession of money before you actually have it. Here is where a capital letters burning desire will come to your aid. If you truly desire money so keenly that your desire is an obsession, you will have no money in convincing yourself that you will acquire it. The object is to want money and to become so determined to have it that you convince yourself you will have it. This is a form of self-hypnotism. Only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated with a desire for money that one can see oneself already in possession of it. Last week we talked about convincing yourself you have stomach consciousness and heart consciousness and leg consciousness and organ consciousness, and you begin to see a pattern here. You put your mind in the state that you want to dwell in. You walk into that state, you exist in that state, and you make the reality exist. Remember the law of correspondence. For every thought, there's a corresponding reality. To the uninitiated, who has not been schooled in the working principles of the human mind, these instructions may appear impractical, and I'll tell you, a lot of people don't believe you can do it. It may be helpful to all who fail to recognize the soundness of the six steps to know that the information they convey was received from Andrew Carnegie, who began as an ordinary laborer in the steel mills, but managed, despite his humble beginning, to make these principles yield him a fortune of considerably more than $100 million. Actually, at the time of his death, he was worth about 10 times that. It may be a further help to know that the six steps here recommended were carefully scrutinized by the late Thomas Edison, who placed his stamp of approval upon them as being not only the steps essential for the accumulation of money, but necessary for the attainment of any definite goal. And that's very true. The steps call for no hard labor. They call for no sacrifice. That's not necessarily true. You have to give up, as Mr. Conlon said, indulgences. You can't be lazy and you can't indulge yourself. They do not require one to become ridiculous or credulous. To apply them calls for no great amount of education. But the successful application of these six steps does call for sufficient imagination to enable one to see and to understand that accumulation of money cannot be left to chance, good fortune, and or luck. One must realize that all who have accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquired money. And you may as well know right here that you can never have riches in great quantities unless you can work yourself into a white heat of desire for money and actually believe you will possess it. And you may as well know also that every great leader from the dawn of civilization down to the present was a dreamer. Christianity is the greatest potential power in the world today because its founder was an intense dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into physical form. So if you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. And let's project that. If you don't see love in your life, if you cannot see love in your imagination, you will never see love in your life. If you don't see health, power, strength in your imagination, you will never see it in your life. If you never see a roof over your head, a home of your own, if you never see prosperity, if you never see friends in your imagination, you never see popularity, you never see a career, you never see that dream you have of being an actor, you never see that dream you have of being a guitar player, piano player, in your imagination, you will never see it in your life. You can apply this to anything. Let's flip it around. Let's make it more positive. If you can see it in your imagination, if you can see prosperity in your imagination, you will see it in your life. You will. If you can see love in your imagination, being loved by your soulmate, the perfect companion, you will see it in your life. If you can see a warm and happy home surrounded by friends and loved ones, if you can see this in your imagination, if you can see it in your imagination, you will see it in your life. But as I keep emphasizing again and again and again, doubt will kill you in this kind of work. You can't go in and say, well, I'll try this and see if it works. I'm just not sure. You know, I'm skeptical. And people seem to think when they say I'm skeptical that this is something you should applaud. You know, you should say, yay, yay, good for you, you're skeptical. That skepticism is why so many people are neurotic and unhappy and unfulfilled and miserable. Most skeptics that I know look into their life. Sam Harris, alcoholic. I can name a whole lot of them anyway, but they're miserable. Miserable people, unhappy, unfulfilled. A lot of them drink. I hung out with a bunch of guys. They were magicians, and every one of them skeptic. And they're all, let me buy you a beer. I don't drink. Let me buy you a drink. I don't drink. Let me buy you, what do you drink? I don't drink. Well, what's wrong with you? You don't drink. Well, you know, I don't think that the world is a mechanical piece of clockwork with, you know, no magic behind it. You know, no magic behind it. I'm a meat robot, and when I die, that's the end of me. You know, I don't have the cynical point of view where everybody is just a con artist and everything. I have a really happy view of the world where, there's a spiritual underpinning to it. And so I don't have to drink to dull the agony, the spiritual agony of a world that's scary and frightening, I guess. That's why I don't have to drink to be happy, I suppose, or to have a good time. I'm crazy without it. So back to Mr. Hill. Never in the history of America has there been so great an opportunity for practical dreamers as now exists. Now, listen to this. This was written, I think Think and Grow Rich was written in the 20s, maybe. It was written along the 40s. No, I think it was written right after the Depression in the 20s. The six-year economic collapse has reduced all men substantially to the same level. A new race is about to be run. The stakes represent huge fortunes which will be accumulated within the next 10 years. The rules of the race have changed because we now live in a changed world that definitely favors the masses. Those who had but little or no opportunity to win under the conditions existing during the Depression when fear paralyzed growth and development. We who are in this race for riches should be encouraged to know that this changed world in which we live is demanding new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching, new methods of marketing, new books, new literatures, new features for the radio, new ideas for moving pictures. Back of all this demand for new and better things, there is one quality which one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants and the burning desire to possess it. Change it out a little bit. It applies today. We've just got out of a six-year depression, thanks to our president and Fox News. And people are hungry for new ideas. We have new technologies, new methods of marketing, new books. It's called a Kindle or a Nook. New features for the radio. We got Blogspot, internet radio. Ideas for we need new ideas for pictures that make the same movie over and over. It all applies. The business depression marked the death of one age and the birth of another. This changed world requires practical dreamers who can and will put their dreams into action. The practical dreamers have always been and always will be the pattern makers of civilization. We who desire to accumulate riches, parentheses, love, spiritual power, success, friendship, should remember the real leaders of the world always have been men who harnessed and put into practical use the intangible, unseen forces of unborn opportunity and have converted those forces or impulses of thought into skyscrapers, cities, factories, airplanes, automobiles, and every form of convenience that makes life more pleasant. Tolerance and an open mind are practical necessities of the dreamer of today. Those who are afraid of new ideas are doomed before they start. Never has there been a time more favorable to pioneers than the present. True, there is no wild and woolly west to be conquered, as in the days of the covered wagon, but there is a vast business, financial, and industrial world to be remodeled and directed along new and better lines. In planning to acquire your share of the riches, let no one influence you to scorn the dreamer. To win the big stakes in this changed world, you must catch the spirit of the great pioneers of the past, whose dreams have given to civilization all that has a value, the spirit which serves as the lifeblood of our own country, your opportunity in mind to develop and market our talents. Let us not forget, Columbus dreamed of an unknown world, staked his life on the existence of such a world, and discovered it, and slaughtered my people, and enslaved them. Copernicus, the great astronomer, dreamed of a multiplicity of worlds and revealed them. No one denounced him as impractical after he had triumphed and said the world worshipped at his shrine, thus proving once more that success requires no apologies, failure permits no alibis. And then they said Pluto wasn't a planet. If the thing you wish to do is right and you believe in it, go ahead and do it. Put your dreams across and never mind what they say if you meet with temporary defeat, for they, perhaps, do not know that with every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent success. And he goes on to talk about a few people like Henry Ford and Lincoln and the Wright brothers and Marconi and successful people. The one thing you'll find in these motivational books, they give you all kinds of success stories and platitudes. Like here's one: the oak sleeps in the acorn, the bird waits in the egg, and in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs dreams of the seedlings of reality. I'm not a big fan of platitudes. You know, you go to AA meetings and things, and you can find more platitudes for a square inch than you can find in a, you know, these people that have all these platitudes, you know, like, today I will own my power and no one will discourage me. You know, you print these out, put them in fortune cookies, you know, and I'll, you know, eat one a day, whatever. I don't really like those. You know, make your own platitudes. You can easily, you know, you can generate those by the millions. I used to have fun just kind of doing that. Today I own my left elbow. No one will bend my arm. Today I own my bald spot. Let no man make me grow hair there. Today I own my my left big toe. Let no man knock me off balance. You know, you can generate these things forever. They're platitudes. They don't mean anything. Inspire yourself. Be your own hero. You know, today I got out of bed. Yay! You know, now I shall let no man stop me from making breakfast. You know, be your own hero. I don't like platitudes. I really don't. They, you know, compounded wisdom. My principal in high school had a book, and I was kind of a buddy with him. He said, John, look at this. This is the book. I'm going to start putting these in the newsletter, because I was on the newspaper staff. And I swear to God, my hand to God, the first one I read said, a thick book has many pages. And I said, you know, I have one for you, Mr. Wilson. Empty barrels have nothing in them. And he goes, did you just make that up? I said, yeah. He goes, let me write that down. Aha. And at that point, I knew I had a future as a spiritual leader. We'll be right back after station identification.
You are listening to the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. The longest-running conjure show in the universe, it may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time, Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa. This is the meeting place for all esoteric traditions. Candela brings his insight as a Polero and eclectic spiritualist to his interviews with peers in Afro-Caribbean lineages, as well as representatives of numerous other spiritualities and religions. You can hear Candela's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. Tuesdays bring two wonderful shows to suit your taste. After the spiritual boost provided by the Reverend John St. Germain during the Crystal Silence League Hour, stay tuned for In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly provides up-to-the-minute reports on civil and social rights issues. Her one-hour show airs on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. On Wednesday nights, come out and join Liquid Libations. Andrea Weston hosts this informal sharing and showcasing of poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances, contributed by novices and professional wordsmiths. Call in and read your work. Liquid Libations may be heard on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the professor shares his knowledge of roots, delivers the lucky numbers, and explores the secrets of scriptural sorcery. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern, tax and license may apply, train departure times and Burma shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And I'm back. We'll talk a little bit about some projection work here in a minute and how to put some of these techniques to use. I'm a little bummed out tonight about this Cecil, the lion thing. For those of you who don't know about this, this terrible atrocity, it turns out that a few days ago, recently, Cecil the lion is a lion, a very famous lion from in one of Zimbabwe's national parks, a protected lion, mind you, was killed by an American hunter who boasted about it and posted pictures on the internet with a bow and arrow. The animal was shot on July 1st, apparently, and he posted pictures on the internet, and it's heartbreaking. I can't even look at it, and I get upset. And this was a beloved lion, Cecil. Conservation groups in Zimbabwe reacted angrily to the news that the 13-year-old animal had been killed, partly because the lion was known to visitors and seemingly enjoyed human contact, and partly because of the way in which he was killed. He was lured out of the national park and shot. He never bothered anybody, said Johnny Rodriguez, the head of a Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. He was one of the most beautiful animals to look at. So, in a statement, the psychopath who killed this is a Minnesota dentist named Walter Palmer, who paid $5,000 to a couple of local poachers to help him do this deed. He's agreed to, he's expressed remorse, thank you. During the hunt, which the organizers later admitted was badly carried out, it was alleged that Cecil was lured at night about half a mile out of the national park using bait and then shot with a bow and arrow. The next day, he was found mortally wounded by the hunters and killed before being beheaded and skinned. Animals cannot be killed within the confines of the park. The hunters then removed his collar, further contravening park rules. They knew what they were doing. The professional hunter, Theo Bronkhorst, said he reported the mistake, quote-unquote, to the Parks and Wildlife Management Authority the following day, and it's now being investigated. Updates shows that Walter Palmer has been the subject of so much internet controversy that he's closed down his practice, his dental practice in Milwaukee. Who would take their dentist to this guy? And that he's not available for comment. I get upset when I can't even talk about it. Zimbabwe is considering pressing charges against him for poaching, and as well they should. So I get upset about things like this. This is it's an atrocity. It's a crime. It's a crime against nature. So I'm kind of bummed out about that tonight. Let's talk about some projection work. As we have learned from Mr. Napoleon Hill, desire, burning desire, obsessive desire, helps get you these things that you want, and that's what we're about in Crystal Silence League. We project. We project and we attract. And so one of the things that I've been working with for some time is studying the relationship between the chakra and projection work. Projection work, we've discussed that a few times on this show. I'd like to give you a little bit of that, a little bit of that research. We know that the chakra acts as an energy gate or an energy portal, and it's a whirlpool. It rotates, and sometimes the chakra can be blocked, which means it's underactive, or it can be too open, or it's hyperactive, allowing too much of an experiential energy in it. The chakras are arranged up and down the central channel of the body. And what I've learned is that when you're doing projection work, you can fuel it with awareness of chakra, where the energy is coming from. Desire comes from different parts of us. If you're desiring money, that's a different part, isn't it, from desiring love or desiring recognition, desiring fame. So if you're aware of this, you can cultivate intense focus about which chakra you draw the energy from. Now, essentially, you should draw the energy from the root chakra, you know, Kundalini. You should get it down from the root and bring it up, which takes practice. And that's meditation, but you bring it from the root. And let's say you're bringing out money work. Well, that's the easiest of all. The root chakra, located at the base of the spine, that's our sense of being rooted. It's the basic financial security. It's security, material needs, survival. That's where you power your money drive. So when you're doing money projection, you can get your green crystal ball, you get your green crystals, and you get the burning desire. First, of course, you go into the silence. You make your mind very quiet, and we've discussed that. You purify your intention. You get your mind very, very quiet. You step into the silence. Then you raise your desire for that money. You imagine the prosperity. What is it like to be prosperous? You know, let's say right now you're dirt poor. You don't have any money. You have to put all anxiety, all doubt out of your mind. Make your mind completely at peace. Get all anxiety. Then get total and utter confidence that your money is there. And your money is there. Remember, the universe has set aside. Your money is there waiting for you. You just have to get it. You have to bring it to you. And it's an unlimited amount of prosperity. There's no dollar sign on it. It's an unlimited amount of prosperity. All you've got to do is bring it to you. And remember, you got to come up with a plan, but you got to bring it to you. So imagine what it's like to have all that money. And let's say, now I don't like to put a dollar sign on it because, you know, why limit it? But let's say we're going to start with $100,000. We're going to bring $100,000 in within 6 months. So let's do that. What's it like to have that $100,000 coming in 6 months? We're bringing that in. What's it like to have that? No worries for the bills. $100,000 in 6 months, more than pays for my bills. Got money in the bank, investing it. That nice, secure feeling that, peace. Oh my gosh, prosperity. No bills. Everything's paid. Get that in your mind, and now get the desire to have it. And you burn with that, and you say, give me my money now. And money, you're out there. I know you're there. Come on, come to me now, money. And you get this burning desire to have that. And you should do it. And, you know, people think meditation is this calm and peaceful thing, man. But I got to tell you, my teachers in Buddhism told me, meditate like your head's on fire. Get this fire going, get your attention focused like a diamond, and practice with a sense of joyful anticipation that something wonderful is happening. Not about to happen, but is happening. Something wonderful is happening. You're meditating in Buddhism for enlightenment. You're meditating that you're breaking the bonds, man. So you're meditating that money is there. It's there. It's there. Come to me. Come on now. Come on. Money's there. I'm there. I'm there. The money. I want it. And you burn that desire. Don't do like these guys that say, do whatever it takes to get it. I mean, you know, there's an ethics to it. There's a morality to it. Don't do whatever it takes. Don't crush people under your heel. Don't be a schmuck, man. Don't be heartless, because you have to work with other people. And if you do this, I believe what you'll find is that the plan will come to you. You don't have to sit there with a pencil gnawing the end off of it going, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? The plan will come to you. You have to have faith. You have faith and belief and visualization, and you imagine yourself in that situation. Don't imagine yourself like Scrooge McDuck. Remember him? He'd go in his room full of money and dive down and swim in the money. Imagine your lifestyle. Imagine your lifestyle if you had all that money. Don't imagine millions of dollars, because I don't think you can. I don't think if you're like me, I don't think you can imagine that's incomprehensible. That's like imagining 100 billion, a number of 100. You can't imagine 100 billion objects. You know, the human mind can't grasp a number greater than 5. Did you know that? You can't. If you lay a bunch of objects on the table and take a quick look at it, you'll divide it into groups. You'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and after 5, you're 5 plus 3. You know, 5 plus 4, you start doing that. You can't grasp numbers that big. So you get the faith and the love, and believe it or not, you get sex energy in there. It's what desire is. You get horny for that money. You get horny for that. And so you're doing it with love. Now, say right now, you're really lonely. You want someone in your life. You got to get rid of that loneliness. You got to get rid of that desperation. What's it like to be loved? Love yourself. You know, you say, man, I really love myself. And I'm really loved right now, because if you're working out of desperation, desperation is what you're going to send out, and desperation is what you're going to get back. You're like a wounded animal, and you're going to get predators. So you've got to get rid of the desperation, and that may take some work. And you've got to burn with that love. You got to burn that love out there, and you've got to say, okay, I know you're out there. You're out there. Come back. And you send this out like a cannonball, and when you send it out there, it's going to come back. What you send out is going to come back. So faith, according to Mr. Napoleon Hill, is the head chemist of the mind. When faith is blended with the vibration of thought, the subconscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translates it into its spiritual equivalent, and transmits it to infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. And he makes a very interesting comment. Because Alexander Collin also wrote about sex power, and we're going to get into sex power in a 4-part series very soon. The emotions of faith, love, and sex are the most powerful of all the major positive emotions. When the three are blended, they have the effect of coloring the vibration of thought in such a way that it instantly reaches the subconscious mind, where it is changed into its spiritual equivalent, the only form that induces a response from infinite intelligence, divine mind. So when we're fueling our money power, we take it up from the root chakra, fuel it from the root chakra, and feel it coming up and pushing it. What about love work? Where does that come from? Well, now, that's complex. You know, you think you would just use the heart chakra, get it from the heart chakra, raise it up from the root, and throw it into the heart. But love is complex, isn't it? Love has sex. Love has the empathy and compassion and love from the heart, but there's also a spiritual element of love, so we're looking at third eye, aren't we, and crown and stuff like that. So when you're projecting for love, you're going to have to engage them all. Solar plexus chakra, confident self-esteem, sacral chakra, connecting new people, new experiences. So you're going to have to really think about what is it that's keeping you from connecting. Why don't you have love in your life now? What is your issue? What is your issue? Is it you're shy? You can't connect with other people? Solar plexus chakra. is it that you're you lack empathy? You just are afraid to love? Heart chakra. Is it communication? Throat chakra. Is it the spiritual? You just lack the spiritual. You can't make a spiritual, a soulmate connection? Third eye chakra. Is it that you have, my grandmother used to say sometimes there's too much sex, not enough love, or too much love, not enough sex. She used to call this, sometimes the biscuits and the gravy just don't come out even. Then you'll have to balance root and heart chakras. You see, it's love is complex. Love is complex. You're going to have to know, why am I not, why is this not working for me? And work it out with the chakras, and that's where your chakra work's going to help you out. If you're just using a pink or a red crystal ball or crystal, you might have to complement it with other crystals, and that's where the work with complementary crystals comes very handy. You might have to complement your red crystal ball perhaps with an orange crystal for sacral, a purple crystal for third eye, maybe a red crystal for root. Do you see how powerful this stuff is? When you get to know it, it's going to be in the book, 21st Century Crystal Gazing, complementing these crystals together. So why don't we think about that a little bit, and you see how thinking in terms of monochromatic crystal is very limited. Powerful, but very limited. Now, if I were to give you any advice at all about starting to work with chakras, crystals, and projections, it would be to start slowly. Start, first of all, with a crystal and just project. Then start thinking about working chakras into it. And then start thinking about working with multiple chakras. Before all that, though, you do need to learn to meditate. Now, balancing your chakras with crystal balls and stuff, very interesting techniques there. You just simply have to bring them near your chakras and roll them around. So you just follow the standard chakra color chart, you know, red for root, orange for sacral, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we know that certain colored crystals are attuned for work in specific areas, red or pink for love and green for money, which means that you can sometimes, as I say, use complementary crystals. Now, I don't mean complementary colors like yellow and violet. That's another chapter altogether, but complementary are stones. Two or more crystals that are similar enough in vibrational harmony that they complement each other. Like for money, you might use iron pyrite, jade, and green aventurine. And you can place these together in a small ring where they're touching, like a little beer, and place a small 2-inch crystal ball on them. Make a little stand of the three crystals and put the crystal ball on them and use that for your money projection and project from the root chakra. For love, you can use pink tourmaline, rose quartz, red jasper. Make a little ring. They need to be similar size. You just place them in a little triangular formation. You see, like a stand. Place a small red crystal or a pink crystal ball on it, like a 2-inch ball. Do your love projection. For work, you're doing projections to bring in a job for work. Use a tiger eye, carnelian, a hematite. Place in a little ring formation. Put a small 2-inch yellow or honey amber crystal ball on it. Project out there. Desire, remember, you know, my ideal job is out there. You know, your ideal job, you might want to get a job forest ranger, let's say. I know you're out there. There's a job for me out there working out there in the forest ranger, protecting the wildlife and running around the forest and doing all this. You're out there. I know you are. Come to me. Find me. I'm looking for you. And you project it. But you get the idea about combining three or more complementary crystals with a tinted crystal ball, your projections gain greater power and accuracy and range. And now to identify these crystals, you got to have a crystal Bible. You know, you got to get a crystal encyclopedia and you learned about the various crystals. A lot of them are divided into money. You look in the appendix and say, what crystals are good for money, what good for love, what good for work. Beware the internet. You can go to 10 different crystal websites and get 10 different answers, you know, like what's good for money. And one website will say amethyst, jade, aventurine, and carnelian. And you go, what, carnelian? Amethyst? And then you'll go to another one, you know, and they'll throw something and say, I didn't know amethyst was good for money. And, you know, you get the same thing with roots sometimes. You know, what's good for money? And someone will throw in master root for money, and, you know, and some people won't. And so go with something authoritative. Find something that's tradition, you know, that's respected in the community, so that you know that you're getting the goods. I can show you a practice one. This is what I would do if I were projecting out for. Let's do something really, really cool. You want something abstract. You're getting ready to work on a creative project, and you want a burst of creativity. So we know, don't we, that creativity comes from a couple of places. Really, you need the crown chakra work to get the you need third eye chakra, I would suppose, if you want the analytical. Creativity has two parts, lyrical and analytical. So let's get crown chakra for the analytical part, and sacral chakra for the creativity. So what I'm going to do is get an orange and a purple ball. I'm going to get an orange ball and put it on purple stones. So there you have iolite, you have amethyst, and purple kyanite. We'll put that on an orange ball. I'm going to draw energy up from my sacral, from the root to the chakral. Sacral, take it up to the third eye. And I want an idea for a work of fiction, let's say. And I'm dry. I'm completely dry. Writer's block. So here I am. I'm going to get this desire. First of all, clear my mind of all doubt. This is going to be the greatest thing I'm ever going to write. It's going to be a work that inspires people. It's going to be a work that's spiritual, funny, creative. And that work is out there. The idea is there. Come to me now. The idea is out there. The inspiration is there. I'm going to take a walk after this. And when I take the walk, I'm going to see three things, at least three things that I'll link together randomly. And these three things will come together into a novel. And here it goes. I'm sending it out there. You're coming to me. You're coming to me now. You're coming to me now. The idea is coming to me now. And I'm seeing it very clearly. I'm going to take a walk after this. And three things will come to me. I'll just see them and link these together. And they're coming now. And you send it out there like that. And the certainty and the confidence of this has to be projected into the divine mind. And as we learn, thoughts that go out link with other thoughts of a similar isometric nature. And the message you send out will be delivered and answered. And you'll get this sense. I just did, in fact, a resounding yes. So I now know that I've got 20 pages of my book on crystals that I need to fill. So I now know I'm going to go for a walk tomorrow, and I'm going to get three ideas that are going to link together. It's going to help me finish this book in just a few days, because I've been kind of dragging on the finish of it. So that was really cool. I just got this yes answer. So, thanks, guys, for being there, and I needed to fill a minute, so I did that. But you have this surety, this confidence, this faith, and this anticipation that your thought is going to be answered, and it will happen. Next week, we'll talk more about this. You know, thanks for being around, and thanks for being my friend. Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain. Stay tuned to In the Streets with Beverly Smith.